Are you hungry for more? You know what life has to offer. You sense it is radiating magic, but perhaps you feel like you're just not fully nourished by all there is to embody. Well, you're exactly where you're supposed to be, here and now. Just what the doctor ordered. Welcome to the conversation, Well and Why, where we feast on fuel for the soul. These topics are designed to ignite that fire and maximize our human potential. Together, we can heal the system. Alone, we can heal our bloodline. Bon appetit! Welcome back to Well and Why, a spiritually nutritious production. I'm your host, Allie, and this week's episode is with Julana Dizon. She is a model and a TV host on AfterBuzz TV, which she goes into a little bit of detail about on this episode. But other topics that we discuss are career changes, how she transitioned from full-time employed to full-time freelance model and TV host, as well as her healthy habits, and that she's seen how fad dieting backfires, so she chooses to indulge in moderation. So that's cool. I wanted to inform you that this is actually my last episode of season one. I know, 17 episodes is a pretty random number for a season, but season two is going to be bi-weekly from Memorial Day to Labor Day, which is every other week. And twice a month versus every week and four to five times a month. There's just a lot of work that goes into this, and don't get me wrong, I love every minute of it. However, I would just like to incorporate other things into my life and see where else I can create and what else I can do. So I just need to open up a little bit of life space for that, if you know what I'm saying. But thank you so much for listening. I really hope you enjoy this episode, and let me know what you think. Enjoy. Hey, Julana, thank you so much for joining me on Well and Why.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you. So a little bit of a backstory is that you and I know each other because in the past you would stay with my old roommate in the last few years while you were visiting with friends in New York City. And I feel like you didn't quite have at the time, like, quote unquote, the success, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that you do now. And that's only within the last couple of years. But I'm really excited to hear all about it. But where do you live now and where are you from originally?
So right now I live in LA, in Hollywood, and I grew up in Sarasota, Florida, and went to school in Florida State.
Cool. What's a brief summary of your life starting from college and what you studied to where you are in life now?
Okay, it's kind of not related at all, but I went to school and I studied biology because I wanted to be an animal trainer. And that's what I wanted to do all my life. So I started doing that. I did that for like 2 years, actually, when I graduated college. I was working for a company training animals for like shows and education programs. And like on my time off, I kind of got with a modeling agency and I started to book a couple jobs here and there. And it kind of just transitioned. And I was booking more and more modeling jobs. And finally, it was to the point where I was able to kind of do modeling full time instead. And then that has just, I've been doing full time modeling for the last probably like 5 years. And that's why after a couple of years in Florida, I decided I was ready to move to LA and try modeling in LA. And that's where I'm at now.
Whoa. So it was just something like, how did you even get into the modeling industry? Like, what was the pivotal moment?
You know, I would say the pivotal moment was finding the right photographer, because when I was in college, I sort of was like dabbling in it a little bit. And there used to be this webpage. I don't know if they have it still, but it was called Model Mayhem. It was like a super, super old, like MySpace or Facebook, but just for like models and photographers to connect. And I was going on there and looking for photographers to do like trade photo shoots where it's like you don't pay each other, but you both just can use the pictures for your portfolio. And I was doing a couple of those. My first photo shoots were awful. I was actually just looking at the pictures like a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that's what I did on that photo shoot. But I ended up finding this really great photographer who actually offered to pay me. He was going to pay me like a little bit of money because he wanted to test out his like lighting and just kind of work on stuff during the photo shoot. And the pictures ended up being so good that I asked him, I was like, I really need pictures like this for my portfolio. Instead of paying me, would you just give me the pictures? And he was so nice. He paid me and he also gave me pictures. So those photos really helped kickstart my modeling career. And since then, he's become a good friend of mine. I've probably shot with him like 10 to 15 times, and I always get like incredible photos back. So I feel like once you find a photographer that you can really click with and you really get nice pictures from, that's kind of what really helped get it going for me.
That's so awesome. Do you think that you got really good pictures because you clicked, because like he just made you feel comfortable?
Yeah. And also, I mean, a really good photographer will get you really great pictures, you know.
Yeah.
You can shoot with a photographer, but it's also a lot about the lighting and the composition of the photo. So if you have a photographer who knows what they're doing, they can make you look great. But yeah, also, obviously, being comfortable is, you know, a big part of it.
Right.
So, like, I remember our first photo shoot we did was at the beach because I was in Florida. So that's, like, what you do in Florida. And so, yeah, I just got some really nice, like, commercially lifestyle beach photos. And then the next time we shot, I was like, okay, I'd like to do some fitness stuff. So I kind of built it up that way.
Neat. Actually, this is a really random question that I didn't even have written down here, but like, it's going to sound so ridiculous, but what goes on in your head, like as a model? Because even just as someone, I think so many of us can probably relate to feeling really uncomfortable on that side of the camera, you know? And I was just like futzing around with my sister a few weeks ago and we were just like having fun, but it was still awkward, but not as awkward. And it was so much more fun because it's my sister, you know, and we didn't care. And I feel like that probably has so much to do with how, I mean, it's probably just really important, but a really good model and a really good photographer are going to be really good and successful because even especially when they don't hit it off, you know, but like, what is that like when you're on that side of the camera and like, I don't know what goes on?
Well, for me, a lot of it is like, once you start doing photo shoots and you start looking at the pictures you're getting back, you'll realize like, you know, they always talk about models have they know their angles or they know their poses and stuff like that. And that's true. So a lot of the times I'm thinking about, okay, I know what position my body looks best in or where the photographer is, what kind of shots they're getting of me. And like, I always face to my right because that side of my body photographs better than my left side of my body, which is a weird thing, but it's true. So, and I think a lot of people are like, you know, no one is like completely perfect on both sides.
No, I'm just kidding. So,
I don't know, maybe like supermodels probably, but so a lot of times when I'm photo shooting, I'm thinking a lot about if I'm photo shooting for a purpose, like say it's an athletic photo shoot, I'm thinking about, you know, flexing my muscles and always what does my body position look like? How are the clothes that I'm wearing? Are they like wrinkled if I sit in this position? You know, if you have to adjust like all these little details based on when you're moving around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm sitting down, I might need to readjust my shirt or my pants or whatnot. So I try to pay a lot of attention to those little details because the photographer won't always see them. And if you don't have a stylist with you or makeup artist with you on set, then it's kind of left up to the model to make sure like, okay, what's my hair doing? What are my clothes doing? What's my body doing?
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. That makes so much sense though. So you're not just like, oh, this is fun, I'm doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. Like when I shoot for clients and they have all of those people on set, then I don't really have to do any work. I just put the clothes on and I just go through my poses and then they'll stop me. You know, the stylist will stop me and she'll fix my pants or she'll fix my shirt. So that's the ideal situation. But if I'm just doing photo shoot for myself, I do it all.
Yeah. Okay, so you were going to school to train animals. And did you ever train animals in the process of becoming a model?
Yeah, I did. I worked with a company for 2 years, and we were training animals, and I would do, like, educational shows and, like, educational talks and stuff with them. And it was a really cool job. It was hard. It was really rewarding, but it was really hard. So I don't know. It might be something that I go back to at some point in my life if I stop modeling for any reason. But I don't know. It would be great if I could combine them.
Yeah. Definitely. That would be awesome. Do you use that skill ever at all? I know you have your own dog. So is it like, does it come in handy for that at least?
Yeah, not really. I have my own dog and I love her, but there's not really a lot of like crossover between, hey, I was an animal trainer and now I'm a model.
Right.
I wish there was. I mean, I haven't found anything yet.
That's funny. What was your biggest takeaway from 2018?
Oh, man. Wow, that's a hard question. I wish I had a prepared answer for this. But I guess, okay, kind of like how we were talking before the podcast started about how you did a course to learn how to do podcasting. Mm. I think along those lines, I was really caught up in having all these ideas and like, wanting to do a blog and wanting to do this and wanting to do that and kind of like start a lot of projects and ended up really not getting that far with any of them because I couldn't focus on one thing. So I think my biggest takeaway from last year was just learning that you can do things and you can do what you want, but not all at the same time, all at once. Mm-hmm. So I need to just like slow down and pick one project and work on that, finish it, and then move on to the next thing.
Touche. That's actually one of my favorite quotes is you can do anything, but not everything.
Yeah. It's funny because my best friend actually sent me that quote because I was telling her on the phone, like I would call her all the time and be like, oh, what about this? What about this? I want to do this. I don't have time. I have all these ideas and I don't have time to do them. And she sent me that quote and I was like, oh, this is true.
It is. And it might be the reason why this year, because every year since 2015, I've mentioned this previously, people are going to kill me now, but I pick one word of the year and 2019 was commitment specifically because my brain was working like yours. Like I could do this. I could do this. I want to do this. And then I could do this and bring this in, you know? And it's like, all right, well just start something.
Yeah. And that's the problem too. I feel like, I mean, for me at least, I know that I'm really good at seeing the big picture and seeing where I would ideally want the project to end up and what it looks like at its best. Mm. But I never take any steps to start because I think a lot of people feel like things have to be perfect before you start. And in reality, that doesn't work. Like you literally just have to start doing anything.
Yep. All right. So what is the truest expression of yourself? When do you feel like you're like fully just like feeling so yourself?
Ooh, I've been, since I moved to LA, I've started doing more TV hosting. I think we talked about it a little bit, but I really like doing that because it's so different than modeling. You know, modeling is just pictures and it's just your face and the way you look. And it, a little bit, you can show your personality, but not so much. But with TV hosting, it's like I get to talk on camera. And that for me is really fun. And I feel really comfortable doing it now because I've been doing it for like a year and a half. But I really enjoy that aspect.
Yeah, amazing. So where do you do that?
I worked with a network called AfterBuzz TV. I don't know. Are you familiar with Maria Menounos?
I don't know.
You've probably seen her in the movie theaters. She does like the little like previews before the movies about like what's going on in entertainment and stuff. She started this network that I host at. So we do a lot of talk shows about pretty much any TV show that you watch. We have a panel of like four hosts that will do a talk show about it. So I've been there and it's really fun. And then I also do red carpet coverage with them. So being that we live in Hollywood, there's all the time like TV premieres, movie premieres, events going on, award shows. So we get to go to all those and kind of just interview people.
How much fun is that?
It's really fun, to be honest. Like I just went to the ACM Awards in Las Vegas, the Country Music Awards. And that was so much fun. It was probably the best red carpet I've ever done.
Wow. Because you love country music, right?
Yeah, because I love country music. But it's really cool here too in Hollywood. Like, I've been to some movie premieres, and it's neat to be able to see your favorite movie stars and celebrities just really close. And you don't always get to talk to them because sometimes they're really busy, but it's really cool to just see them and hear them talking to other people. And a lot of the times you're like, wow, that's exactly what they're like in the movie.
That's so funny. Do they come on with their character?
No, they just come as themselves.
I actually went to one once because my cousin's in Despicable Me, the movies, and I went to the second premiere with her. So that was really cool and interesting. I can't imagine being on your end of things, being able to interview people.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So how did you get into that?
Well, I was thinking about doing both acting and hosting just for the sake of getting in front of the camera and talking. Because I feel like modeling is a great industry, but also like TV commercial film is a huge industry. And like I said, being that we're here in LA, there's so much of both going on. So I thought, well, if I can diversify, I might as well, because then I have more chances to get more jobs. So I knew that I could get into hosting quicker than I could get into acting, because for hosting, you need to be comfortable talking in front of the camera. But really, it's just you being yourself speaking to the camera versus acting is, you know, you need to study and you need more training and you need to understand things about acting. Whereas hosting is like, okay, it's just, I'm going to go there and I'm going to be me. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend, I was, you know, talking about wanting to host with some of my friends. And I had a friend hook me up with another friend who was working at AfterBuzz, and he kind of put me in as a referral. So that's how I got started with that.
Ah, connections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. So do you have to watch all of the shows that you use for, that you talk about on this platform?
Yeah, so the whole platform covers like literally any show you can think of, but obviously we have a lot of hosts there. So I only do a couple of shows, but we do have to watch the shows that you're covering because we talk about it. So usually we'll watch the episode and then we'll do an hour-long talk show about the episode.
Fun. So you watch it all together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's such a fun job.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I'm not a big reality TV fan, but I really enjoyed watching the reality TV and doing the talk show about it.
Yeah. Which one?
I was doing Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders.
Oh.
Yeah. And that was really fun to talk about more so, because with like a sitcom show, it's kind of, you know, it's scripted. I mean, reality TV is also scripted, but it's more just like you kind of, you know that they're characters and you know it's scripted. Whereas reality TV, you can, you know, it's a little more fun because you're like, I can't believe they did that.
That's so funny. Are you technically a freelancer with all the different kinds of projects that you do?
Yeah, so everything that I do is just freelance. I mean, for modeling, I have modeling agencies, which get me jobs, but even with them, I'm like an independent contractor. And that's how most models are. Most actors are like that. It's pretty much anybody that's in entertainment.
Yeah. So what do people do for insurance, like health insurance?
I just have my own.
Yeah.
It's hard because you don't really get it through any kind of job. So you just have to do it yourself. Although like actors that are SAG actors, if they work a certain amount during the year, they can get health insurance and benefits through SAG. Mm. But, you know, models, we don't have a union. Sorry, my dog. Okay. Hold on.
She sounds like a seal.
I know. Someone told me she sounded like Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember, actually.
Oh, I think it was you.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I definitely. What's funny is I messaged you and I think I said she sounded like a seal or she sounded like something funny, like other than a dog. And then you said, oh, somebody else said she's like Chewbacca. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So besides the job where you were working as a trainer and educator, have you had any other kind of typical day job?
When I was in high school, I worked at like a serving job. No, once I left the animal job, I was pretty much modeling full time. I also used to do like entertainment stuff. Like I would do dancing and shows and at Busch Gardens. I worked at Disney World for a little bit, but everything was like very flexible. So it was a day job, but it wasn't like a locked in 9 to 5 salaried. You have this many days off, you know? So I was really lucky. And that was also something that helped fuel my modeling career, because when you're working jobs like in entertainment, say for example, if I was scheduled to work at Busch Gardens as a dancer and I got booked on a modeling job, I could call in and say that I couldn't be there and I wouldn't really get in trouble. They would just, they have so many people that work there, they could just pull somebody in to fill my spot and it would be fine. So I was really lucky in that regards that I had a really flexible job when I needed it, but could also take the time off to do a modeling job when it came up. But other than that, I mean, throughout the span of the years, I've had like serving jobs and bartending jobs and just kind of like that, which is also very common in entertainment. You know, usually people are an actor and a server, or you're a model and you are a host at a restaurant or something else to make sure you have a steady paycheck coming in, but also trying to live your dreams. Because I don't know if you're familiar, but like for modeling and acting and anything like that, you're not ever guaranteed a job. You could have like 5 jobs one month and then nothing the next month.
Right, of course.
It's very unsteady until you get to a point where you're consistently booking things.
Hmm. So actually, that's my next question is, how did you know when you can transition from working full time to, you know, kind of taking that leap into, I'm just going to see how this goes?
Right. So when I moved to California, so in Florida, I was doing the entertainment stuff at the theme parks and modeling. When I moved to California, I was pretty much just modeling, and I got a job as a server for a little bit. But I kind of always have that, like I always had a backup job or a job that was really an easier way to make money, but very flexible. Like for example, now you could be a Lyft driver or an Uber driver or a Wag Walker. All these companies that have come up that have very flexible schedules, kind of work on your own when you want, are great options. And I would have done things like that while I was modeling. So I was serving and then doing the modeling jobs when they came or going to the castings. And about a year and a half ago, I got an offer for kind of like a full-time modeling job, which enabled me to quit doing all the other side things I was doing to make money in between jobs. So now I work 4 days a week as a fit model for a company, which is basically like I'm a live mannequin. So I put the clothes on and I tell them how it feels. I'll be like, this is too tight, or it's too big, or it feels weird, or it feels good. And I do that 4 days a week. So that's pretty steady. And as far as like the modeling world goes, that's one of the most consistent things that you could have. So I'm very lucky.
Amazing. What kind of hours is that? Is it flexible?
Yes and no. I go every morning at 9 o'clock, and I usually will be there until like between 1 and 3. But then also if I get a job, I can take off and they'll bring in like a substitute model. So it's kind of the same setup as when I was in Florida and I was dancing and modeling. Now I'm fit modeling and modeling. It's all very flexible.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it really is. I'm very, very thankful.
Yeah, that's ideal for sure. I think just with anybody these days, no matter what you want to do, if you have dreams, flexibility would just be so nice.
Well, that's why I said, like, it's so great now that there's all these companies that you can work on your own, whatever hours you want, and still make as much money as you want or as little money as you want while pursuing your dreams.
Right. Got to look into these. What do you do for fun on your time off?
Wow, I've been doing a lot of home shopping lately because I just moved into a new place, and so I was busy picking out furniture and decorating my house and looking on Pinterest for ideas. So I like doing that, and I like to just take my dog places outside. I have a lab, and she really likes hiking, so we try to go just to any like outdoor hiking spots.
I can't wait for hiking season here. I mean, I guess it started, but
In New York?
Yes.
You have a hiking season. We just have hiking all the time.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, why would you want to go in the winter?
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, there are three hiking seasons, essentially. But, I mean, summer can be almost too hot, even though you go anyway. You just really have to make sure you have your water. But the transitional seasons are really prime hiking seasons. What do you think is the secret trick to building and maintaining enough energy to be productive to do all of the things that you do?
Secret trick to building and maintaining energy. I would say, well, I've become a really big fan of getting 8 hours of sleep. Actually, thanks to my boyfriend, he kind of made me that way, because I used to stay up till like 2 a.m, literally doing nothing, just looking at things on my computer that weren't relevant to anything in my life, and like Pinterest or Tumblr, you know? And so he likes to sleep a lot. So I started sleeping 8 hours, and now it's to the point where I feel the most rested, and my body will wake up naturally after 8 hours. So I try to go to bed at 10 o'clock and wake up at 6 o'clock every day, because I feel like having a couple hours in the morning before you have to leave to go to work is one of the best feelings for me. If I can get up and do something I enjoy, like maybe I'll watch some of a TV show, or I'll get answering all my emails out of the way, or take my dog on a walk, just doing something that I enjoy before I have to go to work, you know, and do the thing you have to do because it's your job, it just makes me feel so much happier. And then, you know, you've already done stuff. So when you get off work, you don't feel like, oh my gosh, the day's gone and I haven't done anything.
Yes.
So that's a big one for me. I try to wake up early as much as I can.
Yeah, me too. I think the hard part for me is getting to bed by 10.
So. Yeah, it is hard. And you know what? I was really good about it for like 2 months, and then I stopped because it was almost like this weird pressure of like, I have to sleep by 10 o'clock. So I would sit there like throughout the day, I would be backtracking. I would be thinking to myself like, okay, if I want to be sleeping by 10, that means I should be home by 9, which means I should eat by like 8 or 8:30 when I have to go to the gym before. Like I would backtrack my whole day up to whatever point I was at. So say it's like, I don't know, 5 o'clock, and it's like so stressful. I'm like, I don't have time to do anything. I should just go home now and get ready for bed. And I felt like I was being too strict on myself. Like I couldn't go out with my friends or like go out to dinner at 7 o'clock. Cause then I was like, well, what if I get home at 9 o'clock and then I have to go to bed right away? Like, it was getting to be a little too restricting. So I kind of tried to ease up. I took a break for a little bit and I tried to like ease up on it. So now I'm not as strict, but I always keep it in mind.
Yes. That's so funny. And I'm cracking up over here because I do the exact same thing. I mean, that's kind of how I live my life, is like backtracking time like that. And I think that's what makes me really good at time management, you know? Mm-hmm. But when you really honestly think about the time that you have and how long it takes to do certain things, and then you realize there is just not enough time in the day sometimes.
There's not. And especially if you live in a big city, like you live in New York or you live here in LA, there's so many people. You can only do like 3 errands in one day, and it really eats up all of your time.
Yeah.
Versus like if you're okay. So my boyfriend's from Iowa. So when we go to Iowa, we can do like 20 things in one day. We can go grocery shopping. We can go to his sister's basketball game. We can go to the gym. We can eat lunch. We can go swimming. We can go to the gym again. We can go to dinner. We can do all these things. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, we've done so much today. And if we were home in LA, we could maybe go to the gym, go to the grocery store and work, and that's it. Because you physically can't get there because of all the traffic and all the people and just all the time it takes to do these things.
Hmm. Yeah. I wonder if it's our only barrier is like the people and the traffic, because I mean, my laundry is downstairs and outside and it's not that far. But it feels like, you know, it's like just around out the door, a couple doors down. And it, like, definitely not a people getting in my way kind of thing. But It's like if it were just in the apartment,
right?
The amount
of
time
it would be so much better.
Yes, it would save me so much time, and I wouldn't have to like allot certain time to put on your shoes and make and go outside and make sure you have everything you need, you know, and everything just adds up, I guess. So obviously you have a wellness routine, but is it something structured or like what does that look like for you to individualize what wellness means for you?
You know, wellness for me is just doing your best, but not overdoing it. So I, as a fit model, it's really important that my body stays the same because my job is based off of my measurements, right? So if my measurements get too big or too small, then my job could be in jeopardy because I won't fit the clothes anymore, basically. So I'm not really, really strict on like eating healthy and going to the gym, but I do it the best I can and I do it in moderation. You know, so every day I mostly try to eat healthy, but also if I want to eat a little bit unhealthy, I do it. And I mostly try to go to the gym like as much as I can, say 5 or 6 days a week. But if there's a day when I'm really busy, I don't kill myself over it. I just take the day off. So I think just having that balance and doing things in moderation for me helps me just kind of maintain the level that I'm at, you know, and obviously if I want to amp it up, say I want to be like really, really fit for summer or for a photo shoot or vacation, then of course I can be like, okay, I'm going to eat super clean and train every day. But that's more like a special occasion,
right?
You know? So because I've had friends where they'll do like a clean eating diet or one of those fad diets for so many days, and then they just crash and then they just binge on like unhealthy food because they've been wanting it for so long and they've been so strict on themselves about being on this diet and not eating this and only eating this. And it almost like backfires.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, okay. If I eat a salad and then I eat a small cookie, whatever, it's equal. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of issues with that sentence right there. But for me, that's how I think about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
Do my best, but I don't kill myself stressing over if I'm eating salads all 3 meals.
Right. So generally you have a salad every day. And when you eat an unhealthy, quote unquote, snack, it's just one cookie. Versus like,
yeah. So I used to be really bad with sweets. I used to eat a lot and I kind of toned it down by just, you know, telling myself, okay, I like these things. That's fine. I can still eat this. But instead of eating 2 whole donuts, I'll eat half a donut, you know? So you're still getting it, but you're just reining it in a little bit.
Right.
And like, so now what I eat, I mean, I don't eat a bunch of crazy things. In the morning, I usually do like toast with avocado and eggs. And then I'll bring like a fruit snack to work or like some fruit cut up, like apples and peanut butter, or like oranges, something like that. I might do like a power bar or an energy bar. And then for lunch, I like to eat like soups or salads or sandwiches. And at dinner, usually I'll do like some kind of grain. I've been really into like clean eating bowls. So we put like quinoa or like brown rice or something with like chicken and some vegetables.
Buddha bowls.
Yeah. I don't know. I bought a book on it. So there's like a bunch of recipes. I'm going to try to start doing one a week.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, they're so easy. If you just pick a few veggies, cut them up, mm-hmm. throw them in the oven for a little bit, you know, put your grain on the stovetop. I used to make Buddha bowls all the time. I would even make my own like dressing.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Because they have delicious things like a peanut butter sauce that you can make, you know, and like not put in the suggested amount of sugar because you don't need it. It's delicious anyway.
My favorite dressing so far is it's like a poppy seed salad dressing. And it's just like a little bit sweet, but I kind of just put that on all of my bowls and it just tastes good.
Ooh.
Sometimes barbecue sauce.
Oh, that's interesting. I've been loving just olive oil.
Oh yeah.
And you know the trick? Okay, so I feel like I've discovered my own trick to making delicious salads, and hummus in a salad and just olive oil. And if you shake it up, and then it's like creamy.
Because
you're hummus.
Huh.
Yeah.
So you do it before and then you pour it on the salad, or you do it in the salad?
I put the hummus in the salad, and then because usually I've been packing up salads for lunch lately, and then I just put the lid back on after putting on the dressing, and I just shake it up and mix it up with my fork, and then it's almost like a creamy salad because of the hummus.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
I know. I like putting like a nut in there to have a little bit of a crunch, and roasted veggies. So I heat up the veggies. I dump them in lettuce with nuts and maybe tomatoes that aren't cooked. And what are those things called?
Doing charades now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's... Oh, my God, so close. Sprouts.
Sprouts.
Yeah, do you get it now? I'm like peeling them apart. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a daily or weekly habit you have that is a non-negotiable in your lifestyle?
Non-negotiable daily, weekly habits. No, I don't. I would actually say no. I mean, there's a lot of things that I do every day and every week, but nothing that's like, I absolutely have to do this or I cannot function. Mm-hmm. Like not even drinking coffee. I know a lot of people like can't function without coffee.
Yes, me.
Which I drink coffee, but it doesn't really like amp me up. I just drink it because I like the way it tastes, kind of.
Have you gone a day lately without it?
Yeah, this morning because I didn't have coffee creamer and I didn't want to drink it black.
Okay.
No, I would say that I can't really think of anything that I have to do every day. I guess wash my face. Mm. I wash my face every day. That's the one thing that I actually enjoy doing because I feel like I'm taking care of my skin.
Yeah. What do you use? Any kind of product?
Yeah, I just use this. I think it's Neutrogena and it's a grapefruit face scrub.
Yeah. I
have with like little beads. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. So I use that. And then I use, It Cosmetics has a cream. I can't remember what it's called right now, but it's in like a yellow container. It's one of their like most popular items. So I just wash my face with that grapefruit face wash. And then I put that night cream on.
Oh, you use night cream. Interesting.
I mean, I use it for both. Okay. I use it in the morning and at night.
Oh, I think there's, my sister told me, I shouldn't even bring this up because I have no idea, but she told me there was some difference about like day cream and night cream and how one really like affects makeup or something, you know, like there, mm-hmm. there's a reason why there's night cream and day cream and that they're separated.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure night cream is more, you know, like restorative or calming or whatnot. Day cream, I mean, obviously you should have SPF in your makeup or in your face lotion.
Right.
I really just don't know that much about like beauty products, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither.
I just have the couple that I like. And every product that I use actually have been brands that I've shot for. So I get to know the product because I used it. And they've given me a sample, and then I just keep on buying it.
Oh, that's so funny.
I can't go to like a Sephora and shop because it stresses me out. There's too many items. There's too many brands. There's too many things to look at. Mm-hmm. So I've done a couple jobs with It Cosmetics, and I got really close with their makeup artist who's really knowledgeable about skincare and skin and makeup. And so whatever she recommends for me, I just buy it and I use it. I don't even ask her any questions about it.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know too much either. I honestly barely even use that face wash. I usually just wash with water in the morning
really?
And at night. Yeah. I feel like better not having anything on my face, which is
weird. Do you not wear makeup?
Just blush. I mean, I wear eye makeup, but I wear blush. And then I feel like I'm getting that off because it's just such a light coat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows? Maybe there's like way more dirt under my skin than I can even tell. But unless I'm touching my face a lot or it's that time of month is coming up, like I really don't break out all that much. It's mainly my diet. I'll know that I'm not doing well when I'm starting to break out and being like, okay, I really got to get back on track.
Yeah.
What is it you do that helps you through current challenges that maybe you didn't have in your toolbox 5 years ago?
Okay, so if I'm facing a challenge now, I'm a lot more likely to just look for advice on it. Whereas before I might have just tried to do it, or like I was talking about before, just doing it all at once and not really getting things done. Whereas now there's so much on social media in general and people that you can look at for inspiration. So if I want to do something and I don't know how to do it, I feel a lot more confident going to somebody and asking them, or just learning how to do it myself. Or just even asking my friends, my agents, managers, people that have been kind of on the path where I want to go, just reaching out to them and asking them questions, because I feel like people that have gained some success in the field, whatever field you're trying to be in, usually they will give advice if you ask.
Do you usually come up with questions in advance and then you send them all in like bulk?
No, I will just usually touch on like one thing, you know, or I'll go say if I have a friend that does a lot of travel stuff, which is something that I would like to do. So if I see her post about something that I'm interested in, I'll be like, hey, how did you get this shot? Or what kind of equipment did you use for this? Or, you know, just stuff like that. I'll kind of just try to be very specific with things whenever I see them.
Right. Yeah, I love that. I can relate, because when I realized I wanted to get into podcasting, I started reaching out to random podcasters, and there was this one woman, and I was asking her about microphones and what she uses, and she ended up just liking my energy and having me on her podcast.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, and then I was just like, that's so neat. To feel what it's like on the other side first. Like, thank you for this opportunity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I could, like, I was in your shoes, and then I'm like, okay, that's not so bad. That was fun. I feel like I'm set it, like, I guess the best way to put this is that you don't feel like you're bothering people to be on your podcast, because it's mutually beneficial, because I feel like the person on the other end also gains a lot from it as well, if they agree to be on it, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that was really neat. But when was it that you realized that you could start asking people questions and not feel any sort of way?
I think when I got to be like, I just turned 30 this year, so it doesn't feel that old now that I'm 30, but I know like when I was in high school and when you're in college, everyone's like, oh my God, 30 is so old. I'm going to have so many kids by the time I'm 30 and be married and this and that. And then you like slowly approach 30 and you're like, oh wait, I'm kind of just like getting the swing of things now. And I'm kind of like getting into my career now, really. And so about last year when I was 29, on the verge of 30, I just started feeling a lot more confident. Like I finally reached a point in my life where I felt like I had enough experience and I've managed to live a pretty like decently successful life, like career-wise and financially and just like mentally and stably, that I actually feel like I have advice and things that I can share with people. So just having that pure fact, you know, being more confident in myself and my experiences that I've had made me feel less nervous about reaching out to other people, and just like a comfortability level kind of thing with just interacting with people. You know, like once you're really sure with who you are as a person, I feel like it's easier to be like, hey, what's up? I'm interested in this thing. Whereas before, I've always been a little afraid to reach out to people that I don't know, just because I'm like, what if they don't answer me? What if they think I'm weird or something, you know? And now it's kind of just like, whatever, I don't care.
Yep. I had this yesterday, actually. I don't know when that happened for me or if there ever was a time that I didn't feel comfortable doing that, because I was raised like, ask questions, ask all the questions. So, so here I am interviewing people. But basically, I had reached out to Trevor Hall last night. Do you know Trevor Hall?
Mm-mm.
Okay, he's a musician, and I saw
him. Wait, what band is he in?
It's just Trevor Hall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's so good. It's like a combination of reggae, indie, folk, rock. It's really, really different, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it would be really fucking cool to have him on here. And I doubt he's going to say yes. I doubt he's going to even see the message. But, like, what if he did say yes, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, honestly, I haven't heard anything, and he hasn't even seen it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he said yes.
No, but the point of the story is that, like, I didn't go in with expectations of him, you know, answering me or anything, like, really coming out of it. It was just, like, why wouldn't I ask if I'm thinking about it, you know? The worst that can happen is they're going to either not answer or they're going to say no. And then maybe you follow up a couple times, and if they just never answer you, like some people that I know personally that just like have not answered to be on this podcast, I'm like, okay, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's another really important thing that you come to realize in life, that you reach a point where you understand that the things that are meant to be will come, and the things that aren't, you have to let go and be okay with, you know, like that people that don't get back to you, you can't get hung up on it. You just have to be like, cool, next.
Yep.
And that's a really important thing and a beneficial thing to learn too, because otherwise you'll just be wasting your energy, you know, constantly following. And a lot of the times people don't have the courage to just be like, hey, I really like you, but I'm just not interested in this, which would be way better for you. Because then you could be like, cool, thanks for letting me know, move on.
Yes.
But people are afraid that everyone is going to take it personally. And they're like, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings, or I don't want to break ties with them, or I don't want to get on a bad foot with this person. So they'll either just like string you along, or just be like, you know, and they'll be like, yeah, totally, we should do that. We should do that. Like a lot of people in LA do this all the time, you know, where it's like, okay, if you don't want to do it, cool, tell me. I'm not going to not like you. I just want to know so I can move on with the project or move on with my life.
Right. Or like stop reaching out and thinking that this is an opportunity of, you know, collaboration or friendship or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Do you cook more or you get takeout?
Now I try to cook more just because it's better for you. Can save a lot of money. A lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I don't like about it is it's a lot more inconvenient, especially if you come home after like a long day and you're like, oh, I still have to make dinner. So, I mean, meal prepping is obviously really beneficial, but also that's another thing that takes a lot of time. So some weeks I get it done, some weeks I don't. But like I said, I try to just have things in the fridge that I can throw together, like rice that's made or chicken that's cooked or vegetables that are already sautéed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been trying to cook more.
Yeah, that's actually such a valid point and something I think about all the time is like, what is more valuable for me right now, money or my time, you know?
Right.
Like, do I cook more often because it's healthier for me and I'll save money? And yeah, I want to be healthy. So that is really important to me because I'm not so strict with my diet. So being healthy as much as I can is really important to me because I am so lax about it. Mm-hmm. But it also is delicious and it makes me feel good to eat it. So mm-hmm. I prefer that. Or like the time that if instead of cooking, I could be editing because that's just so time consuming these days, which is great and I'm happy to do it. But yeah, sometimes it's like what's more important. But then I mean, at the end of the day, money is just so important, but so is time. You never get time back. You can get money back.
Right. I agree with that. I've actually found, do you have Trader Joe's?
Yes. Not like right around me, okay.
But like in New York.
Yes, yes.
So I like to go get, they have a really good pre-made salads and like pasta salads. And I've been stocking up on those because for me, that's something that is already done. And it's, I mean, they have some options that are pretty healthy. So that's been like my go-to when I'm like in those situations where I don't have a lot of time or there's other things that I could be doing with my time, but I'm really hungry.
Yeah, that's smart. I actually did recently, I can't find it in the freezer, it's in there somewhere, but this really awesome little bag of like this pre-made quinoa dish. And it looks so good. I just need to find it. All right. So is there anything that you wish we spoke about, something I didn't ask, or something intuitive that you would like to share with us?
Maybe like in regards to modeling, I get sometimes a lot of questions about being a fitness model and why I got into that and just that industry in general. And I think the thing with fitness modeling, it's obviously different than normal modeling because you're being athletic, you're working out, you know, you're shooting action shots and things like this. And sometimes when people ask me how to get into fitness modeling, I tell them get into fitness first and foremost, because you can't be a fitness model booking jobs for Nike and Adidas and, you know, Lululemon or what have you, if you don't know how to work out. You know, it's more than just putting on an outfit and having a pretty face or having a body that's in shape, but you actually have to look legit doing running or, you know, being on a bike or doing like a row machine or lifting weights. So that's the biggest thing. I mean, I got into fitness modeling because I started working out a lot and I was with a trainer and I was really learning how to do everything with the correct form. And then that translated to when I started doing photo shoots, you know, I had the right form, which made the pictures look good, which made my agents put me on their fitness board, which led to me getting fitness jobs. So I think that's the most important thing, because a lot of people, a lot of models will just be like, oh, okay, I'm going to put on this, these leggings and sports bra and go like do some running photos, which is cool. But to be really successful at it, I think you need to have all of that real training and athleticism and knowledge behind it.
That makes so much sense. I mean, I feel like in anything you want to get into, you should like get into it first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's like, I mean, I'm sure this happens all the time, but just to relate it from the podcast world, I feel like that's someone being like, I want to start a podcast and having never listened to one in their life. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, don't you want to kind of know what they're like the whole world? I mean, obviously there are so many different kinds, but I mean, just to get a feel for what you're getting yourself into. And that's, I didn't realize that as a fitness model, you're, how long are you exercising for? Like, or just as long as the shoot?
Just as long as the shoot. I mean, it can vary. Like, I've been on some jobs where I'm literally running back and forth for like an hour. So like some are more tiring than others, but like, that's the other thing. You have to have that stamina. You have to actually be able to work out.
Mm-hmm. But that's awesome, because then you've just like checked off two birds with one stone, yeah. You know, work yeah, right. And work out. Awesome.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. So I know you mentioned actually like that maybe in the future you want to get back into training animals or something animal related, but I guess the question's like, do you really kind of know what you want to do with your future? Like, what does the big picture of your future look like?
My big picture future, honestly, just in general for my life, I just want to have a family, have some kids, and just live a life where I am working but have enough free time to enjoy life. You know, so a lot of times people be like, what's your modeling career? What's your top career? And obviously I have aspirations and things I want to get to and things I want to do. But for the most part, as long as I'm working and making decent enough money to live well, I really am okay with just my career kind of going how it's been going. Because I'm happy. I'm comfortable right now in my life. And I just want to be able to continue to live that way. And I would like to get more into hosting. Like, I would love to do like a hosting travel show where I'm visiting like animal centers and stuff like that. But that's something like way in the future that I have to work on and plan and everything. So that would be like my top goal. I'm trying to figure out how to do that, but
yeah,
it's like way out of my realm. I have to figure it out.
Cool. Well, that's really it. This was really fun. Thank you so much for being on here with me today. Really, I really appreciate it. I know you're busy and Oh, yeah. And it was so crazy. I just want to bring up that I ran into you in New York City the other day.
Yeah, totally.
Just wild because you were here for how many days?
I was there for like 2.5 days.
Two and a half days.
And we only took the subway like 3 times.
Nuts. So yeah, I was going for brunch to see some friends and run into you at Union Square, which was wild. And I noticed your boyfriend and I was like, I know that face. And that happens sometimes, you know, you recognize a face. You're like, do I know that person? Do I not?
Yeah.
And like, I didn't, but I only did because of your Instagram. And then I turned and there you were. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That's so funny. Yeah. Social media is a weird thing. I see people all the time in LA and I'm like, do I really know that person or have I just seen them on Instagram?
Isn't that so funny? Actually, a long time ago when I first moved to New York and I was doing temping, my temp agency that I was working with, I got assigned a specific person and I recognized her and I was like, why do I know her? I saw her name and I was like, oh. And then I asked her, I was like, did you go to blah, blah, blah? And were you blah, blah, blah's big in college? Like, this is so creepy, but I went to high school with her and I know you from her Instagram.
Wow. So, that's funny.
But it was really nice running into you and it was really great talking to you. So thank you so much again.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Welp, that is a wrap, folks. Thank you so much for listening and tuning into Well and Why yet again. If you happen to have any questions or any takeaways that you'd like to share with us, please feel free to reach out to either myself or Julana. You can find her on Instagram, you can find me on Instagram, or you can email me wellandwhy@gmail.com. That's wellandwhy@gmail.com. Please also, if you don't mind, take 2 minutes of your life. If you could please just leave me a review on iTunes with a 5-star, you know, that would be great. Yeah, and I really look forward to season 2. Feel free to let me know what kind of topics you'd like to hear be discussed on here, as that would be so beneficial and highly appreciated. I know you're listening, and I know there's nothing better than feeling like a fly in the wall, but I would really be psyched to hear from you. And lastly, I just wanted to remind you all to go with your gut and listen to your heart. I've been sharing a lot of emotions with my Instagram community lately via poetry, and I've just never had the confidence to explore my creativity until the past few years. Slowly but surely. I am so grateful to have pushed past my limiting beliefs in that way, and you have no idea how much I appreciate those of you who reach out saying that you want to hear more of my words. That feels really nice. I want to know more about you guys. So what do you do or where do you like to go that inspires you, that makes you feel inspired, that like triggers beautiful ideas, whether they're bright or dark? You know, beautiful doesn't have to be positive all the time. So yeah, shoot me a message, shoot me an email. I want to hear from you guys. I want to know where this community of listeners feels inspired most. For me, it's nature, and living in Brooklyn, obviously nature is not always so easy to come by on a daily basis. So being by the park, on the water with the Manhattan skyline right across is just very, very cool if you ask me. So yeah, and that's about it. And I'll see you on the flip side in a couple weeks. Ta-ta for now.